Hebrews 12, verse 14. Or actually 14 and 15, but follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you've given us your word as a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway, Father, to lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. And God, we just ask you to open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, our spirits, Lord, that we may absorb everything that you have for us. That like as the psalmist, we would hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. That our light would shine and our world would see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I've titled my message this morning, The Beauty of Holiness. Now, I know holiness is not exactly the kind of topic most people want to hear. And partly it's because it's been used to beat us over the head. Amen? Come on now, let's be real. It's been used to beat us over the head with all the, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to look like this, you have to look like that. And especially to the ladies, I can imagine the ladies really loved the old-time holiness that, you know, you can't wear your dress so past the your mid-thigh, not thigh, your mid-calf. That was almost terrible. You can't wear your dress past your mid-calf. You have to wear your hair up in a bun. You have to, you know, no makeup, no jewelry, all this kind of stuff. And the truth of the matter is that stuff's not holiness. That's just an outward a sign. Yes, I agree, the Bible tells us to be modest, but it tells us to be modest in all things, not just in our dress. So I want to take us into holiness. What does it mean when the Bible says, without holiness, I cannot see God? Well, the word holiness in the Greek is the word hagiosmos. And the word hagiosmos is actually the finished product of holiness. It means I'm already there. I've already been holified. I'll make up a new word for us. We've already gone through the process of becoming holy, and we have obtained that holiness. Now, the root word of the word holiness is the word hagios. And hagios is a totally different concept. Because hagios means to be separated, set apart, sanctified, and you won't see it in this description because this is a newer version of the Strong's, but in the old one, it said set apart for God's exclusive use. You know, when they sanctified the implements of the temple, they were set apart and they were not used for any other thing. They were only used for that. They were considered holy. Where's the temple now? We are the temple, amen? We're the temple of God. And for us to realize that we have been sanctified, we've been cleansed, we've been set apart for God's exclusive use, then we would realize that this is what God is talking about. And when we get to this place, those around us who don't know God, they will want to know God because they see something different. You see, if I'm not any different than anyone else, If I'm no different than the murderers and all the bad guys out there, if there's no difference in my life at all, what do they want Jesus for? Amen? The thing of it is, I have to realize who I belong to. This thing is in my way. I have to move around a little bit. I have to realize whose I am. Who do I belong to, Satan, or do I belong to Jesus? There's no other option out there, just in case you're, you know, want to know that. There's just no other option. We either are God's or we are Satan's. I want to take us to Romans, the 6th chapter. In Romans 6, starting at, I really want to read this whole chapter to you. I know it's long, but can you bear with me for a few minutes? If not for a few hours. Anybody here hungry? Good, I didn't see a hand go up. I love it. What shall we say then? This is Paul writing to the Christian church at Rome. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, I need more grace, so I'm going to go out and sin a little bit so I get that grace on me. Amen? No, that's what Paul is saying. He says, no. He said, in modern day language, say, what, are you crazy? Shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? Does that sound a little more how we talk today? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, did you hear that? How shall we that are dead to sin live there any longer? Now, how many of you know when we die, that's it, we're done. We no longer have this life. So if we're dead to sin, what does that tell us? We no longer have that life, amen? We're a new creation. Know you not that as many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul is not saying here, go out and get wet in the name of Jesus and live like you want to live. Come on now. He's telling us that we must change. When we're baptized, when we accept Christ, when we ask him into our heart to forgive us of our sins, we're not supposed to be the same people. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That ought to set you free right there. You see, I'm no longer a captive to the old man. He's dead. He's gone. I've been raised again. I've been born again to serve God, that I shouldn't live in sin. It's as simple as that. And when I do that, when I get there, whew, I'm holy. I'm living in holiness. And if I'm living in holiness, I can see God. I will be in God's presence when this fleshly time period is done. But see, we don't like to hear about that. We want to, a lot of people just want to hear, oh, God's grace, it's going to cover all your sins. And while that's true, Hebrews also tells us that he who willfully sins, there's no remission for that sin. That's an uh-oh. Well, we don't like to hear that. I want to drop down to verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Paul's saying it again. God forbid. In other words, don't do it. We can't make it any plainer. Don't do it. Don't stay there. Know you not. Now here it is. Know you not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It can't be any plainer to me. I don't know about you, but it can't be any plainer to me. There's only two ways to go. You're either yielding yourself as a servant to sin, or you're yielding yourself to the servant of God. One or the other. You can't be both. Trouble is, we want to be both a lot of times. We want to go out and have what the world looks like as fun and forget about God, but on Sunday we want to come in and act all holy and righteous. That's not the way it works. In fact, I don't know about you, but you know, I've seen people trying to walk the fence in the Olympics. You know, those people are on the balance beam and they're going like this, and when they slip off, they got to fall on one side or the other. Otherwise, it hurts. Amen. Anybody been there? Anybody done that? Of course. You're either on one side or the other, and Paul is very clear here. And that's what he means by having holiness, being for God's specific use, and don't allow Satan to use you at all. Now, I know we're human, but that doesn't excuse us because we're human. Jesus was human. Yet my Bible tells me he lived on this earth for 33 years and a half, and he didn't sin once. So that means if Jesus can do it, and his spirit that lives in me, that raised him up from the dead, when it dwells in me, he will quicken or make alive my mortal body. That means this temple right here, he will make it alive. And I can be in a place where I no longer yield to sin. That ought to excite you guys. Maybe I'm the only one that gets excited. I don't know. Romans 12. This kind of stuff excites me because of the life that I came out of. Believe me, you don't want to hear all the dirty details. I don't even like to remember all the dirty details. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore. In other words, I'm begging you, brothers. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that's this thing, right? A living sacrifice. Oh, here's that word again. Holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, that's the least you can do, man. the least you could do. Look what Jesus did for you. That's the least you could do for him is live holy. Guys, getting too quiet on me. I'm going to ask everybody to raise their hands and show me you've got nothing in them to throw. This is all God's asking us to do is surrender to him. Stop being a servant of sin. Allow him to cleanse us, to sanctify us, to set us apart, and live for him. It sounds really easy. Now, just because it sounds easy doesn't necessarily mean it is easy, because unfortunately, I have a problem crucifying the man of sin. And I keep wanting to resurrect him. Amen? Anybody else have that problem? But it's my reasonable service to become a living sacrifice. What does a living sacrifice even look like? It looks like living holy in front of my neighbors and relatives and friends and people I don't even know who might be watching me. It means living a holy life so that they see Jesus instead of me. That's the whole thing we've been talking about here for weeks with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and getting back into his shadow and walking in the light. That's the whole purpose of the whole thing. So that they will see Jesus and they'll come up and they'll just want to know what's different. Especially if they knew you in the old life. That's our reasonable service. Take us to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Starting at verse 19. Scripture says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. Think about that just for a moment. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which God has given you. You are not your own. In other words, God owns me. He bought me with a price. He paid for me. He owns me. I no longer have the right to sin. A lot of people don't believe that. I no longer have the right to sin. I can make the choice, but I don't have that right anymore. Because he owns me. He bought me. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It can't be any plainer. I no longer own myself. Satan no longer owns me. God and God alone owns me. And if that's the case, then I no longer have the right to disobey God and to continue in sin. As Paul said, God forbid. This is what holiness looks like. It doesn't look like, you know, some kind of outward clothesline appearance. It doesn't look like set of rules that you can't do this, you can't do that. It looks like being God's exclusive workman that allows his glory to shine out from me so that it attracts everyone around. The power of the Holy Spirit flowing through me so that those who need a touch get a touch, and that they're attracted to God because I allow it to flow through me. I let them see. You guys are just getting too quiet for me. I'll take us back to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews 12. I'm going to back up a little bit in Hebrews 12 to verse 9. Hebrews 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Anybody ever get a spanking when they were young and said, oh, that was great, Daddy, do it again? No, I don't think so. At least ways I never did. May not have corrected me right, but, you know, we won't go there. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, when that correction comes, when it's either something that we read in the scripture, something the preacher says that we're listening to, something that the Holy Spirit just puts into our heart, when that chastening comes, it may not seem like it's a lot of fun. May seem a little grievous, but the end produce of that, what it will produce in our lives, is that holiness. If we just yield to it, it'll produce the holiness that allows us to walk boldly into the throne room of grace. Amen? We're no longer under the part where if we see God, we're afraid he's going to smite us. Why? Because that holiness is within us. I have an assurance within my soul that I can look at him face to face and I can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we don't hear people preaching about holiness anymore because they don't want to hear it. Well, I hate to tell you, if it's in the Word of God, it's for our benefit. Just because it doesn't sound good to our ears, just because it means that God tells me, you know, this or that, just because it says I can't go out and live like the world, doesn't mean that it's not beneficial to me. Because God's never going to give me anything unbeneficial. Amen? What does the scripture say? All perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. Amen? His word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But oh, you don't understand, brother. I want to do this, I want to do that. Well, it's against the Word of God. Do you really want to do it? Think of it is, I'm not the judge of those things. I cannot judge you. You cannot judge me. A man stands before his master. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? So we don't judge each other. But there's one who will judge me. And when I stand in front of him, I want to be able to stand boldly and say, I did what you told me to do. I lived how you told me to live. But the problem is, sometimes we get to trying to put our rules on somebody else. I'll give you a perfect example. Nowhere in the scripture does the Bible tell us that if we drink, we're going to hell. Just in case that surprises somebody, doesn't say it. Now, it does say drunkard. There's a big difference. But when I first got saved, I believe I was still in Italy, and I was sitting in a restaurant. No, I was in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm sorry. We were already back because I was already off restriction. Long story. In Norfolk, Virginia, and I'm sitting in the pizza parlor, and I'm drinking a nice, dark beer with my pizza. And several of the guys that were in my unit, they walked in and just went, raised their eyebrows looking at, oh. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just dropped into my spirit. He says, do you think drinking that beer is a good testimony? I started praying about it, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, stay away. Now, the difference is, the Holy Spirit told me that. So I cannot put that on you. You understand what I'm saying? There's things that the Holy Spirit may tell you that you cannot do, and you best not do them. But you can't put those things on other people. It's just as simple as that. The problem is we try to take those things and say, you can't do this because the Holy Spirit said. But the Holy Spirit deals with each one of us and what's best for us. So I just can't do that. I can't tell you what the Holy Spirit told me. Why? Well, newsflash, folks. I am not your Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm not your God. In fact, you ought to be very thankful that I'm not God. You know why? Because if I were God, none of us would make it. I ain't got that much grace and mercy. And when I mean none of us, I'm talking about this one here too. I don't belong to Satan anymore. I belong to God, and because I belong to God, I have to do the things that God tells me to do. I have to begin to live in that holiness. I have to begin to allow Him to cleanse me, to sanctify me, so that He can separate me for His exclusive use, so that I'll be in that place of holiness when I stand face to face. Take us to 1 John, 2nd chapter. Now, this is a fun scripture for us. I want you to hear this very carefully. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Now, is John telling us don't sin? Come on now, is John telling us don't sin? Yes. I write these things that unto you so that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now that sounds like a contradiction, does it not? Don't sin, but if you do, we've got an advocate with the Father. But don't sin, but if you do, we've got an advocate with the Father. But don't sin, so you don't need the advocate with the Father. But if we do sin, we've got an advocate with the Father. Does that make sense to you guys? Come on now. You guys got to help me preach this. You got to let me know that you're understanding what I'm saying. He's saying don't sin, abstain from sin. Don't yield to the things that Satan wants you to do. Live a righteous, holy life. But it's God that cleanses us. So that if we do sin, he cleanses us. We have an advocate with the Father. Anybody know what an advocate is? It's an attorney, a lawyer, someone who's going to stand up and defend me in front of God. You know, if you've ever been involved in any kind of legal proceedings, the first thing the attorney tells you to do is what? Shut up! Don't say a word. Let him speak for you. Why? Because a lot of times when we do things on our own, we mess it up. It's just a fact. I was a deputy for 7 years. I know exactly how they train us. Get them talking. Get them talking. Take those notes so that everything they say can and will be used against them in a court of law. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan. He's going to stand up and accuse you. Don't allow him any latitude. Make sure the advocate's the one standing up for you. Begin to allow God to cleanse you, to sanctify you, to purge every bit of sin from your life, that there's no darkness. We heard about darkness a couple weeks ago, did we not? If the light that's in me is darkness, oh boy. So don't let it be darkness. Let it be light. Let it be God's light. Let that light shine out from you. Live a holy life that is sanctified to God. That he will make you holy. I can't make myself holy. You can't make yourself holy. But all, we can be cleansed by the Word of God, by the blood of Jesus, to a place where we're set apart. And Satan just can't use us anymore. That's the place I want to be. Amen.